We're going into three holes left, and I'm one up. We're both playing incredible golf, and we end up tying the last three holes. And at the end of the day, I shot 62, Brady shot 63, and that is
Holy shit.
one of the craziest matches
I didn't
and
make a
most,
bogey either.
yeah, I mean, just insane golf. And the fact that, one of us didn't make money just proves that professional golf is bullshit.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Welcome back to The Grind. I'm your host, Ryan French. Before we get started, really want to thank Golf Tech for their amazing support of what we are doing at Fire Pit. They are the presenting sponsor of The Grind show that will be out later this year. Just been awesome to me, awesome to us. So go to golftech.com, check out what they're doing. A great way to work on your swing. They have all the technology you've ever needed. Great teachers, great PGA professionals. Awesome place to go get help with your game, golftech.com. So thanks to them for their support.
Welcome back to The Grind. Two of my favorite guests. Oh, look at him. Look at this. This is going to be the social clip right here, Brady. I mean, we're not even 30 seconds into this fucking thing, and he's taking a big can of Skull. I mean, this is Brady Calkins to a T. Alistair Docherty, great story. Brady Calkins, great story. On top of being a legend in the after the U.S. Open, his legend kind of grew, and it's both of them have guaranteed starts. So, fellas, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you,
Ryan.
Alistair, let's start with you. You kind of had a tougher road from the standpoint of second stage, first stage you win. So, like, you're rolling, good time of year to be playing well. Second stage, you miss a five footer on the last. I mean, your reaction on video is obviously you thought that was needed to get through.
Yeah, I definitely thought that was needed. There was way too many things that were out of my control after missing that putt that needed to happen in order for me to move on. But somehow multiple different things happened and got in on the number. So very fortunate for that.
I think you've talked a little bit about, the fact that no one who's not a player will ever be able to describe the, like, I mean, I know more than most people do, but I will never be a player that, like, an hour and a half of just sitting there refreshing your phone. But take me to the last group. Brady, I think, is in the last group with Henry Chung. Is that right, Alistair?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't in the last group. I think I was.
Well, the last moved the line. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yep. I was. I played with Henry.
And so Henry has a five footer for birdie. He makes it and does a fist pump. And did you assume that put you out, Alistair?
Yes and no. So it was a little confusing, but Doug, our friend that caddies for Brady, Doug Kanonis, was pointing at us and saying that, like, he was like this, and he keeps giving us thumbs up and like six, and I'm like, is he putting for six? Or
you're trying to decipher, like, what the fuck is happening?
Is he at six? Or
just to, like, give people who are listening a insight, Brady started it with Skull. Just went into the bathroom and packed more Skull. I mean, dude.
First of all, it's Copenhagen.
Oh,
first
sorry.
Of all,
I thought it was the Skull guy. Anyway. All right. So you're like kind of trying. I mean, that's a look into what Q School is, right? Like, you're trying to decipher what the six means. He's six under. He's about to putt for six. You're fine at six. Whatever. You're trying to, like, figure it out.
Yeah. So, like, I'm. This is right after the group in front. A couple things had to happen. One guy three putted in the last, and another guy made a couple bogeys earlier that we didn't know about, obviously. And finding out that six is on the number and good, and then Henry hits it in there close. Well, online it says that he's at six under, and you still have those three holes before that we don't know what happened. So we were trying to figure out what Doug meant by, thumbs up, six, what is he cutting for? And when Henry made that putt and threw the biggest fist pump and screamed, and I was like, oh, he definitely got to seven.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We're out again. And when they started walking over and Brady's just got his big old grin on his face, he's like, oh, you're good. And when Brady says you're good, I know we're good. So we started celebrating right away. And then we were on to final stage.
Now, I know, Alistair, you kind of there's a serious part of this is like, as a golfer, you got to learn what you need to do in order to be right at the right times, whatever that is. And you have like kind of eat right, stop drinking, those kind of things. But I think it probably assumed that after that, you said you're good. It quickly turned to like, hey, I haven't had a drink in a while.
Yeah. I've been wearing the Whoop, well, shout out Whoop, for 2 years now, and I'm trying to figure out exactly where I'm able to be top of, you know, my game physically and healthy and, you know, being ready to perform at the highest level. And for me, that means that I need to cut out the booze and eat right and make sure that I'm getting the proper amount of sleep before tournaments. And once we're on to the next stage, it was full send. I mean, we had a blast. We celebrated, and then it's back to business for me.
Brady, here's the serious question that I have, and it really is serious. So, I mean, you are who you are. That's what everybody loves about you. That, I mean, you've had unreal success at the Dakotas Tour. You've also had a ton of fun. Do you have to find a balance, Brady, of getting to the Corn Ferry Tour and not taking yourself too seriously and like changing everything you do? Or is it that like you have to go there and be like, hey, I'm competing against the best. I need to be in the top fit, you know, top. I need to get 8-10 hours of sleep and those kind of things. Cause you've dominated on a tour that has a very good players by having fun. And not that you did that every day, but at times you did that. So
definitely not.
So when you go there, is it when you go next season when it starts, is it you have to like change who you are, or do you have to find a balance?
Obviously, like, you know, the Dakotas is a little bit different than, you know, the Corn Ferry Tour. So I mean, a lot different. I can, and this just means more to me now. I did that for, you know, I've been a professional since I was 19. I've told you that. So this is my this next year is going to be my ninth year as a pro. So I've gotten older, obviously. I can't do what I did. And all of those stories mostly stem from like year one on the Dakotas Tour, mm-hmm. when I was just kind of getting out there and
right.
meeting. I've met a bunch of new people, you know, we all shared the interest in having a good time.
You're all 24 and playing professional golf. Like it's not anything we wouldn't do. Any of us.
I felt invincible too. And my body doesn't take it like it used to. That's for sure. But no, I just do whatever I feel is, I just kind of do whatever I want to. And if I want to have some beers, I'll have some beers. If I don't, I won't. That's not something that like controls my life in any way.
That being like said, how many beers did we have after second stage? I mean, final stage. I mean, this is like, for those that are listening, second stage is important because you know you're a Corn Ferry status, but guaranteed starts obviously is a huge step. So where did the party go?
We didn't really do anything crazy. We just went to this bar called, do you remember the name of it, Alistair? It was like Woo something.
Before we go to the night, what about right after we got done? We went to the Cabana Bar right at the golf course, right by the pool.
Yeah.
And we had quite a few. I mean, I had a big glass of tequila, Casamigos, and that tasted so good.
I had a big old double Jack and Coke. Shocker, right?
Brady and I stayed in the same Airbnb this week, this past week in Savannah. It was me, Sam, Brady, and Doug, and we went back there. We had plenty of Rocky Mountain waters, Coors lattes, however many different names we could have. And we sat there and started watching the football game. And then we grabbed an Uber and went to this place called Wormhole.
Wormhole. That's what it was. What
a, what a bar name. Holy shit.
Like super recommended. I mean, live music, dart boards, pool tables, great, great vibe. I mean, it was awesome. We met some other Featherstone, his caddy for the week, Braden. I mean, it was a great time. Joe Weiler.
It's the type of place where you kind of feel like you need a penicillin shot when you leave.
I guarantee.
I got poked by one of the metal tip darts, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be all right.
Yeah, might be out the first 3 weeks with some sort of,
fucking hepatitis or something.
Oh shit. All right, guys. I mean, I talk a lot about the partying, but there is a serious side. I mean, you guys have been to the Dakotas tours, and we talk about the fun times, but mini tour golf isn't fun at the end of the day. You guys, Brady's worked construction, Alistair, you caddied. I mean, during these, especially after you've had a few pops, I assume there's some reflection of like, dude, we finally got to where, you know, obviously this isn't the final destination of where you want to be, but it's a very good place to be, at least right now. So I assume there has to be some like reflection of, hey, I mean, we've played combined 17 years professionally, and you know, we're finally here together. I assume it's pretty cool to do it with a friend.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
I mean, celebrating with a friend, and then also, you know, this year being able to travel and know that you've got, you know, one of your best friends out there with you. It's going to be a good time. And obviously we're hoping for as much success for one another as we are for ourselves.
Yeah. One of the biggest things about having the full status now that Alistair and I both talked about, that we were both in the same boat, is hallelujah, having a place to practice.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That has been the biggest pain in my ass for the last couple of years, mm-hmm. paying money to practice places. So that's nice, being having all of TPC at our disposal now. I imagine our games are only going to elevate from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I've talked a lot about it on Twitter, but that is a huge, huge advantage of getting through school. It's just a place, and a good place. It's not like you're a local muni. Even that would be nice, obviously, for guys like yourselves prior to status. But I mean, a TPC resort with good short game facility, all those kind of things is huge, right, guys?
And not, well, not just Scottsdale. It's any of them.
You can go anywhere. Any of them. Yeah.
So that's huge. And then obviously instead of being 36 holes away and $550 or whatever and pre-quals, and then a Monday, it's $100 and just 18 holes to get onto the PGA Tour. So that's another huge thing too.
Alistair, who was the first phone call you made after it was official at Final Stage?
Mom? I called my dad, and then right after I hung up with my dad, I called my mom, and there was definitely tears shed. I mean, I owe them a lot, and they've helped me so much, and just my whole support system. I mean, it was very emotional after I got through.
And I mean, what do you guys, what did you talk about, Alistair? I mean, you quit and forced to quit, basically ran out of money a few times. You had COVID and stayed in a crappy hotel during over Christmas. I mean, there's been some not great times. I assume it's just a lot of reflection. Your parents sacrifice in order for you to be there, live and die on online, or if you're playing close enough to follow along, and it's finally, I mean, money, time, all those kind of things. I assume there's just some reflection of like, it's kind of all worth it.
Yeah. I mean, once we're on the PGA Tour, then it can be all worth it. But it's definitely sit down and think about those very tough times, and just happy that I kept myself, you know, above water and kept pushing my way through, because there was a lot of times where I've been in those low moments, and, you know, potentially done with golf, and it's just not something I ever want to go through again. And something I hope nobody has to go through, because that's a very, very tough time and definitely made me stronger, but it was very, very low points.
Understand. First of all, Brady might be getting big time, Alistair. I don't know if you saw that. He just brushed his fucking beard. He has a beard brush. What the fuck is that? What the fuck?
You can still see me?
Gets on the Corn Fairy tour and the guy buys a fucking beard brush. It's like a little miniature brush.
And out of his bedroom, you know, bathroom, hanging out. Making sure I know that he's got a better beard than me. I get it. Hey, great learners.
Brady, who did you call?
I didn't know you. I called my mom and dad as well. I called my dad. Actually, I think I called my mom first. And the first thing I said to her is kind of just an inside joke that me and her have, because I sat down with some old friends that I don't affiliate myself with anymore. And straight to my face, one of them said, "You're not going to make it. You're just a kid from Chehalis." So I said, "Not bad for a kid from Chehalis." So that was fun. That one felt good to say.
And I saw a ball mark you had with your dad. Something that I think it said, like, you can make it, or what does it say on it, Brady?
It says, for my 26th birthday, my 27th birthday, my dad sent me a ball mark, a coin that, and it's engraved. It says, "The hole is big." Love you, Dad. So, and it's funny because if you knew my dad, it'd be funnier. The way he wrote it, it says, like, "I'm saying love you, Dad," but really it's supposed to be "love you, Dad."
Comma.
So it's a mark that means a lot to me. And I can, when I'm putting my ball down, I get to read "the hole is big," and we all know the hole's not big. So,
Going back to Chehalis, Brady, I mean, in the story I wrote about you, it's a huge part of who you are. I mean, it's a blue collar town. It's kind of like the town I live in now, Alpena. And people live and die with your success. They want to kind of, you know, there was the fairways were lined with guys from there. They were all drinking and, you know, having fun and kind of living vicariously through there. I assume there's some pride in just, like, not getting out of there. That's not the right word. You're proud to be from there. But just like showing people that, you know, you can be from Chehalis and be wherever you want to be.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. When I made a birdie or a good par save at the US Open, and I could put my putter back in my bag and stand and wait for my competitors to finish the hole, and I look over and I see 13 of my, or however many, 8 of my buddies with tall boys in their hand and high fiving and laughing, and they're all there because for me, it's super heartwarming, and just, you know, it shows you that people genuinely, genuinely care about you and want you to succeed. So I'm not playing just for me anymore. I'm playing for a lot of people that want to see me do well. And obviously I'm playing for me the most, but yeah, I've got people that are looking for me to do something, and I can't wait to show them.
All right, Alistair, this is what we're going to do. We're going to tell your favorite Brady story from the Dakotas tour, and then Brady's going to tell his favorite Alistair story. So
I don't know if that is a good thing.
No. I mean, Brady, you can approve it or not approve it. We can cut it out. But Alistair, go.
My favorite.
I mean, take me back to the 62 or whatever, when you, like, you were going to caddy for him.
I've got mine.
You want me to talk about that or
whatever? Your choice.
What about the Borrego match play?
That's exactly what I was going
to say. All right. Yeah. Brady, you're okay with this story?
There's nothing bad in this.
Okay. All right. No,
it's nothing at all. We,
are you going to go through the whole Pete Marsh part too and everything?
I mean, so when Brady and I lived in Palm Desert, when we were both caddying at the Vintage Club.
Yep.
We were
17, 16.
Yeah, 17, maybe 18. The Golden State Tour had a match play event down at De Anza Country Club, just on the other side. It's like an hour from Palm Desert up over the mountain. And we had a host family that week, and Brady actually used to work at the golf course. So Pete and BJ Marsh, fantastic people. They're actually from Washington as well. We went to have dinner with them one night before the tournament, I want to say, started. And he was just asking us a bunch of questions about how to go about the golf course. And he was the biggest question that he asked was, or that kind of stuck out to me. And this is the big memory that I have of that night was he was asking Brady and I, you know, how far do you hit it? And, you know, do you think that's an advantage? And Brady goes, oh yeah, I hit it probably right around 310. And Pete goes, well, Alistair, I was like, 311. And we had a good chuckle or whatever. And then we go down, we play in the seeding round, and we both win our first match. Well, we end up playing each other in the round of 32, or maybe it was the quarterfinals.
All I know is whoever won got paid.
That was the biggest thing. So
if you lost, you were out. Yeah, you got it.
And you didn't get any money.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is kind of weird. I'm playing against my best friend, and you know, we've both been playing well. Like, we've had so many of these matches when we were over in Palm Desert. This is going to be fun. Well, I get off to about the hottest start anybody can possibly get, 5 under through five up. And I am just going to drum. This is the best thing ever. Like, I'm walking.
You're going to talk shit the entire time after it's over. Yeah.
You know, this is bragging rights. This is money. This is whatever. And next thing you know, Brady takes on number 6 at De Anza, is a very good golf hole, a long par 4, but you can hit driver and get it up there to a wedge. Well, he hit probably the best drive I think I've ever seen on that hole. The fairway where you're landing driver is about 8 yards wide. And he hits this thing right in the perfect spot, wedges it up there, makes birdie. I'm like, all right, now I'm 4. Well, he then makes birdie on the next hole. And then makes birdie on the next hole. Then makes birdie on the next hole. And then makes birdie on the next hole. We're all square on
square through 10.
So you went 5 straight and he went 5 straight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
We tie 11?
I have this scorecard right here, actually.
Oh, shit.
Or maybe I think we're all square through 11, if I'm not mistaken.
Anyway. Yeah, through 11.
Through 11. And so on 12, good par 3, I come up short right, and I chip this thing in. And Brady's just like, fuck you, dude. Like, you should not have chipped that in.
You hit it thin. It ran up the face.
The Alistair left out a key case. Part of the thing.
So I go back to 1 up, and then we get to the next hole. And it's a par 5, and I'm just short of the green in 2, and Brady's kind of screwed over this, kind of hitting a crazy tough flop shot, and he hits a hell of a shot to about 4 feet, and I'm like, wow, that's as close as you're going to get that thing. And I just decide to chip in again. So this one, I will say, was not hit perfect. This had a little motor on it. It nailed the pin, went in the hole.
The eagle one was really good.
Well, that's the one I'm talking about. I chipped in for eagle. Yeah. Went in the hole. And
so back-to-back chip-ins.
So back-to-back chip-ins. And then Brady birdies the next hole. We tie the next hole. And then on 15.
So you're 2 up at this point.
Yeah, I'm 2 up with 4 to go.
Okay.
On 15. He hits this putt from about 12 feet, and I want to say it had 4.5 feet of break, and just absolutely throats this thing. And it was the first time that I had a big old smile on my face. I looked at it, and I was like, this is fucking fun. Fist bump. Like, this is sweet. We're going into 3 holes left, and I'm 1 up. We're both playing incredible golf, and we end up tying the last 3 holes. And at the end of the day, I shot 62, Brady shot 63, and that is
holy shit.
One of the craziest matches.
I didn't make a bogey either.
Yeah. I mean, just insane golf. And the fact that, you know, one of us didn't make money just proves that professional golf is bullshit.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
I shot 63. Oh, I get to lose. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. The very next day, I had to play Matt Picanso, and I shot bogey free 64 and lost on. Actually, I didn't even play 18. I was
holy
8 under.
Cow. Holy and shit!
So, yeah. So I Brady's pain the very next day.
Brady, your favorite memory of Alistair? I mean, it doesn't have to be Dakota. So it can be whatever.
Let me think about it for just a second. Right. If you got any other
no,
questions.
No, that's good.
So I'm gonna take a minute.
That's good.
Let's see.
How many wins, Brady? How many? Do you know how many wins you have?
Like all at all levels?
Yeah. I mean, one day. I mean, yeah.
Just... from like one days to 4 day events, I think I'm roughly around like between 15 and 20. I really don't know exactly how many.
The Dakotas tour, like I think we, I talk about it a lot, but I mean, it's a pro-am style for those that don't know, and it is. I mean, it's just the value is ridiculous. I mean, is there a better mini tour out there, guys? I mean, just
value. I didn't think so for a while, but I had never played on that APT tour, and I've heard that one's better. Money wise, Dakotas is more of like a. I mean, you got pro-ams every at first two rounds, or you're playing with amateurs. So the APT is probably a little more competitive, I'd say. It's all Korn Ferry players.
If you have host housing for the APT events, I think it's APT no-brainer. Mm-hmm. But the brotherhood kind of lifestyle and like the bond to hang out with all those guys that are up in the Dakotas – It doesn't compare to anything else. I mean, it's a fraternity of golfers. That's the way I would put it.
I mean,
that's great.
There's got to be a lot of people cheering.
Happens during fraternity stuff. I mean, it's nuts.
A lot of people got to be cheering the Dakotas tours being. I mean, Metzger got through again. You guys got through. I mean,
Joe Weiler.
Yeah, Joe Weiler. I mean, Weiler. Basically the top four guys from every event played in the last 12 years is now Mason not on that tour.
Played Dakotas this year, too.
Who?
Mason Anderson.
Oh, yep.
All right. Have you booked, Brady, have you booked any trips? Have you looked at prices of Bahamas? So this is... exactly what people don't understand about Q School. It is great to get through. It's awesome, and you have status. The first,
we're about to spend $100,000.
Yeah, the first five weeks, 4 weeks of Korn Ferry Tour are just watch the credit card start on fire.
Oh yeah, yep. No, I just got in last night. I just took my car in to get an oil change. I'm going to get on all this probably tomorrow. I'm not doing anything today.
Alistair?
My momager is on top of a lot of things. she already sent me a full thing of the budget, and it's just an estimate of all these.
What is that, Brady?
It's Rocky Mountain Water.
Oh, all right.
It's just an estimate of, you know, each week. And yeah, these first four, especially the Bahamas, are a dent in the credit card for sure.
Yeah. Caddies, guys, what's the situation? Are you taking friends?
Did you say caddies?
Yeah, caddies, week to week.
I think we're both keeping our guys.
Yeah, mine lives with Brady.
Awesome.
Yeah. Here we want. Should we throw Sammy on the pod real quick?
Come on, Sammy.
Yeah. We're.
Hey, pause that.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, pause that. Because you're going on the pod. Just I don't know.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Put it up. I mean, if he wants to.
Hey.
Sam.
Hey, how's it going?
I heard there was a bad club on 18 for Alistair.
18, yeah. Yeah.
I heard it last night. I'm just kidding.
Pretty tough club.
Yeah, I get you. Sammy, did you kind of like being on the bag and with friends, is it I mean, how nervous are you as you're, as you guys are like coming down the stretch?
Obviously get a little bit more, you know, involved and emotionally involved when you have a personal relationship with the, you know, the guy you're working for. But the more you stay with the numbers and kind of try and focus on what needs to be done and what you're doing, kind of just try and take the emotions out of it, all the guesswork out of it, and just kind of rely on numbers and kind of what you've done forever. So it's definitely a little bit more of a wild ride, I would say. But yeah, when it comes down to it, you just got to really try and focus on what's in front of you.
Alistair's worst part of his game. Go ahead. Go.
Worst part of his game. He doesn't have many. I think once he really scores to his full potential, you know, from that 75 to 125 yard range, could get pretty dangerous. He's been working on it a lot, taking a lot of, you know, more controlled shots into the greens, taking, you know, 75-85% swings and killing some spin, controlling the trajectory a little bit better. So I think he knows that once he really, really dials in that part of his game, it's going to be looking upwards.
Have you guys been to Exuma? Brady, Alistair, have you been there?
No, I haven't. So, I've heard a lot of stories.
So I'm going there. I'll be there. And what we're going to do is hopefully one of the pro-am days is a windy day, and we're going to have a scratch golfer play Exuma from the tips as a pro, like, you know, stroke and distance, putt everything out, everything, and we will see what they shoot. My guess is probably the like, I put this out every year, and it like creates a huge amount of debate. Like every year they go to Exuma and it's blowing like 40. Like, what would a scratch golfer say? I'm going to say it's going to be 100. Like, if it's blowing really, really, like it's blown before, 100% that guy's not breaking. Whatever that hole is along the ocean that people make like 8 every year.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
16. He's going to make a 10 easily. Like, this dude is shooting 100.
When he gets under the pressure of a tournament, knowing that.
Yeah, that,
no breakfast balls.
Yeah, that's you know? My point. Is like, I'm gonna stream it, so he has some sort of pressure, right? Like,
right, right.
To like make like, if this isn't a casual round, I'm gonna stream it and put it out on Twitter, right. And so like he'll have some sort of pressure that people are watching. And I'm really hoping to get a guy who's like, oh, dude, I'm gonna shoot 82. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I shot 83 at a, you know, the day after the U.S. Open or whatever. I want to get that guy. You know. Yeah. And I hope it's blowing 40 and a little bit of rain, and we'll see what the guy shoots. I'm going to say it's going to be around 100.
I think it'll be a quick wake up call for what a scratch golfer actually is.
Set the line at 92.5.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're going to do. We're going to bet on what's going to happen, but
I'll hammer the over.
Yeah, I'm hammering the over too. I'll bet my life on the 95 plus. Dude, Greg Eason shot 91-92 there. And Greg Eason was like a top amateur in the world, like got his Korn Ferry card, went down there, and Exuma broke him. I mean, it broke him. The dude never like really kind of took off. I mean, that dude was very good and shot 290s.
Yeah, and that he lost all his golf balls or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, insane.
Phantom or whoever was shipping him golf balls.
Yeah, I just saw Jared Wolf practicing on Twitter, and he was trying to hit like a 2.8 degree launch or something. Like, it was like he was hitting like stingers that were 5 feet off the ground.
I'm gonna start working on my I call it the Colton Lapa shot. I don't know if you guys
know.
Yeah,
I know Colton. Yeah,
he teases 2 iron up like a driver and hits it almost down. Like the launch angle is down into the ground. And it is the coolest thing to watch. So I'm going to start working on that. You never know if that could come into play.
Yeah. All right, Brady. Brady, the real question is, when does the celebration stop?
Oh, it's already over.
All right. Back to work?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I assume you have to find, like, what did you say?
celebrate every day just being alive.
Yeah, fair. You guys got to find a balance of like, I mean, Matt Ryan said he got on the Korn Ferry Tour and like worked too hard, right? Like he saw other guys out on the range. So he's like, I got to go out there and grind away too. And it's like not what got him there in the first place, right? So I assume like now there's some sort of internal pressure to like get to TPC every day and work your ass off. But you have to find a balance of just getting ready and doing what has made you guys successful up to this point. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to change a whole lot. I'm just going to focus a whole lot more. Like, I mean, leading into Q school this year, you know, I missed last year pretty tragically after shooting, you know, 7 over in the first 2 rounds and then missing by, I still can't remember if it was 8 or, Al, was it 8 or 9 last year? Do you have any idea? Do you remember?
At Bear Creek?
Yeah. I finished at 7 and the number was either 8 or 9. Anyway, whatever it was, I missed, and it was just like so damn hard because, you know, the countdown starts of the 365 days till I get another opportunity to do it again.
Yeah.
So obviously not having any places to practice for free, I worked so much more on like just self-talk and mentally preparing myself for this stuff, because mentally is where I just fell apart last year. I put too much pressure on the opening round, thought I needed to shoot so low. So I played so much smarter and more long-term success golf rather than just trying to play like a Monday Q every day and trying to bust my ass and shoot 7 under par each round. So big thing that I'm going to be doing different is just practicing a lot. I'm going to practice a lot now though, cause I have TPC.
Yeah. Alistair, kind of same question, man. Just, is there certain things you have to work on, or is it just kind of continuing to do the things that have got you here?
So the year that I did have conditional, so over the COVID years, I felt like I was the same kind of way as what you were saying with Matt Ryan, is I would go to the range and I would be there for hours, just constantly working on something that didn't need that much work, or it was like, oh, that one shot out of the 30 that I just hit was not right, so I'm going to do it again for that. And it was almost overcomplicating something that wasn't that big of a deal. And then I would overcorrect things, and it was just over practicing. And there is such a thing. Your body gets tired. You're grooving things that might not be what you need to be grooving. And it got to the point where I was hitting so many golf balls that I could only hit that one shot that I was hitting on the range. I mean, Brady saw it. There was about, I want to say 6 months where I couldn't hit a fade. I mean, it was because I'm range at TPC constantly working on hitting draws. Well, next thing you know, my miss is an overdraw. And I was like, I used to only hit fades. Like when I first moved to the desert.
You didn't even hit a draw.
I hit a draw. And it was like, I like to move the ball both ways. I like to have a golf ball. There's no reason I should be standing on the range for multiple hours of the day trying to hit a certain shot with the same club, and is like over everything. So I've learned a lot from then, and even leading up to this year with Q School, it's just doing the things that got me to succeed in the first place. It's doing the little drills that my coach and I work on, Andy Pat now. And it's just keeping it sharp, and peaking at the right place. And the other thing is, like I've been saying, I'm really working on trying to keep my body healthy, because when we're going to be traveling like this, that your body has to be firing on all cylinders, especially traveling. So, it's making sure that my body's taken care of.
Well, gentlemen, congratulations. You know, I'm fans of yours. I'm super happy for both of you, and it's awesome to see. I look forward to you guys playing very well out there. I look forward to being at Exuma and seeing the first official as a guaranteed start. Alistair, I know you both have some, but it's like
you're gonna be in the Bahamas.
I am gonna be in the Bahamas.
Sick.
Yeah. So yeah, I look forward to it, guys. And you guys know I'm a fan and super happy for you guys. And thanks for being on.